You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Tom Morley with you on the latest edition to look ahead to the best of Monday's racing. Racing coming from Southall, Taunton and Kempton on Monday afternoon. And we'll get to four contests across all three venues in just a few moments. But first things first, good afternoon, Mr. Morley.
Good afternoon.
You all right?
Very well, thank you.
Good. It's been a strange couple of days in William Hill Towers.
It has.
It's sort of a hangover of sorts, if you like.
Well, I suspect most people probably, well, I should think everyone had to work, didn't they, all week?
Yes.
And therefore, yeah, it seems to have been a bit of a come down in all senses, really. And the racing matches it, really, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But at the same time, I'm sort of glad that there's a bit of a respite. To a point.
Yes.
But there are still winners to be found.
Absolutely.
And a 3-1 winner at Taunton is the same as a 3-1 winner at the festival.
It is indeed.
One winner who was, this would be a great link if it's true, Might Bite wasn't quite threes, was it? I think it was 5-2 on the off, Might Bite. Anyway, we're going to talk about Might Bite.
Okay.
And a few others, just looking back at the Cheltenham Festival. Might Bite, I was alluding to, as one of the most impressive winners of the week for me.
He's been overshadowed by his
monkiness.
Yeah, but we like characters. The game's dull if you don't have characters. And, well, let's be honest, if he's called Might Bite, I'm just going to make an educated guess that when they named him, he had already shown some certain characteristics. And he was impressive. And you could say he's impressive with those characteristics, because for a horse to do what he did and then pick back up again and come back and win, that takes some doing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just to re-engage the gears. It's not easy when you've basically stopped or started looking at other things that might interest you, like the stables. So, yeah, that was very impressive, really. And because he won, didn't he? He won a year ago yesterday. So might be his time of year as well, but no.
I remember watching him make his debut, actually, in a bumper at Newbury behind West Approach.
Blimey.
Not bad.
No, very impressive memory.
Yeah. But I remember at the time thinking, God, he's massive. And
he's the trouble with, I mean, where he goes next and what he does, as far as punting on him goes, mm-hmm. and betting, you're always going to have in the back of the mind that he might just pull a little fast one and do something he shouldn't. And therefore, he's possibly never going to be the most reliable proposition. But then maybe the odds will slightly reflect that and they'll be slightly longer than they should be each time. So you have to take it all into account. And there's no doubt there's an engine.
No, that is true. What about other impressive winners of the week then? Who really stood out for you?
Well, I'm slightly biased. I always like Special Tiara.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I always feel sorry when horses perhaps win races that they weren't expected to, because a lot of the talk is always about the one that's been beaten and the vanquished, and it takes it away slightly from the victors. But I remember Special Tiara jumping so beautifully a few years ago, and that has always caught my eye, and therefore I've always followed him from that moment. And he does jump for fun, so I was really pleased that he won, to be honest.
He's often forgotten about.
He is.
Well, I mean, because you think, through his whole career, he has come up against, in inverted commas, superstars of the game, and against the likes of Sprinter Sacra and Cy de Grugy as well, and has managed to not only beat them a few times, but even when he's running in defeat, he's still running creditably, and always just seems to be there or thereabouts in these big races.
And the way his running style, you know, he throws it at them. yeah. each and every time. You can't help but notice him because he's going to serve it up. And I admire that type of horse anyway. So, yeah, I was absolutely delighted he won, to be honest, which is possibly just a personal preference rather than some of the other bigger names. Other things like Cue Card falling again was sad, but you can't really take anything away from the winner there. But again, once again, people always look at what might have happened, what could have happened with some of the ones. But generally, you know, considering the number of horses that weren't there, I thought it was a pretty decent festival, and there were plenty of exciting races.
I've not enjoyed a festival that much in a long time.
I couldn't pick a winner, I hasten to add, but that's...
Day one and two were okay. Day three and four were an absolute write-off.
I'd just say all of mine were a write-off, but then I probably anticipated that in advance. So I can't say that. I'm not out with my bowl begging just yet.
Hey, you had some runners at Chelmsford on...
Two runners, didn't I, in the same race, Thursday night. Yeah, that was... Unfortunately, Uphaven didn't enjoy himself. I don't mean it was just because he was wearing the wrong colours. He just got in a stew anyway, probably ran him too quickly back, and then he reared up coming out the stalls back like he hadn't done it the last twice. Mm. So law of averages suggests it was time to do it again. He's going to have a break after that. Just us two ran okay, but I'd expect to see him back at Newcastle perhaps next time, which I think will suit him more.
You weren't there, were you?
No.
I was going to say, because that final race with Nicky Mackay...
And if I had gone, I would have gone by then.
That is true. But I was on air for that. That was absolutely awful.
Yeah. And I actually haven't seen the latest. I know he's broken...
5-hour operation.
Oh, dear.
And he's basically just broken his whole leg.
In a number of places.
Silly, yeah, just his whole leg is broken. But anyway, hope Nicky Mackay is okay soon.
Yeah.
And I don't think there were any... dreadful jockey injuries were there from Cheltenham. Mark Walsh got stood down, didn't he?
He did
for a couple of days. But I'm trying to think that there wasn't anything.
I don't think so. I haven't.
That's Willie Twist and David.
Oh, actually. Of course. Yeah, the first day was that. Was yes, the first day?
That yeah. was. Yeah, on Foxdale Hill.
Yeah.
But anyway, we hope that all equine jockeys, everyone. We hope that you're all okay.
Yes.
And especially Nicky Mackay, because that was horrific. Absolutely awful. Let's hope as well that everyone returns safe and sound from racing on Monday. Kempton, Suttle and Taunton, the meetings. High five available at Suttle here at William Hill. We'll start with the action at Suttle with the 2:40 contest. It's a handicap chase of the extended 2.5-mile trip. And plenty of these arrive here off the back of a decent run last time out.
Yes, and looking back over the last 8 years of this race, 7-2 has been the biggest price winner, I believe. So it seems to pay to look at the ones at the front of the market. The one I like here is Bally Co. Hit form this time last year, notching a hat-trick last April. Off a mark of 1.15 this winter, things have started perhaps a bit slowly, running well but just not troubling the judge. Off 108 today in this race, Showtime could be near last time at Kempton. Came third behind Sir Note, that ran really well again at Kempton. Lovely horse that. Don't often see a lot of James Eustace's horses over the jumps, but certainly that one's serving him well. Full Shift was second that day. I think there was a bit of money for it, this horse, Bally Co as well. So they're obviously expecting the form to turn around, and I think this race could be where we see it. And can we say anything more about Chris Gordon's form?
I was going to say, I mean, it was... I wouldn't say well documented. It wasn't actually that well documented because it was on the eve of the Cheltenham Festival.
Yes.
But he had a 5-timer on last Monday, so it'll be a week ago as they're running this. Absolutely incredible. But then...
Oh, it's not just that day, is it?
He's had his last two winners win as well.
Yeah.
He's in sensational form and he's got two down to run at Suttle on Monday. Who's to say that they won't keep winning?
Absolutely. So clearly, you know, stable form is... right up there. So I'm thinking Bally Co could be where to go there.
And will be short, but not backed off the boards. You wouldn't have thought.
I wouldn't have thought so, because, I mean, you've got John's Luck, who's won off 103 and 108, Fosslass and Plumpton, respectively. Now runs off 111 for the third time. Came second at Huntingdon, third back at Fosslass. That's clearly in good heart and could well give Bally Co the most to do.
Mm. Thunavola won this last year as well.
Yeah.
Was the 5-2 market leader on that occasion, will be...
a bit longer. And to be honest, hasn't run... I mean, it ran poorly last time, pulled up last time, and hasn't you know, this is first run back from a break, 214 days.
You'd expect him just to be finding his feet.
I think so. Little Jimmy tries a bit further after just a few okay-ish runs. Mr. Grez had been trying a bit of hurdling this winter and just been struggling, but it's helped the handicap mark. Went back over fences last time at Leicester, bounced back to form, coming second, albeit well beaten by Balin Varig. Four-time chase winner. I think, you know, I'm not doubting it's going to be in this race, but potentially the fifth, you know, win for that horse could be sometime soon.
Okay.
But yeah, Ballycoe for me in this one.
Ballycoe gets the nod then for Inform Chris Gordon in the 240 from Southall. We'll stay jumping and we'll go to Taunton for the 350 next. Just the six of them set to go to post for this, but it's a good little handicap hurdle over 2 miles. You've got the likes of Wishful Dreaming in there, Beltor, who was so impressive just over a year ago now. Still yet to really find his form off the back of that, but hasn't been disgraced. Hint of Mint is a horse in fantastic form. And even the likes of Amor de Nuit, got to be interesting on handicap debut for Paul Nichols. And Mr. Kit Kat and Paddy's runners, they're no back number.
No, funny enough, our colleague Luke Eld has just been singing the praises of Beltor for this race. I mean, obviously it was a decent enough horse on the flat, and at Kempton he won in December over 2 miles on the flat. Third back at Kempton off 133 in a hurdle. We'll appreciate the drop in the class from the Betfair hurdle last time. Personally, I'm going to go for Hint of Mint. It's had a productive time of it since joining Harry Fry, partly due to starting out off a mark of 130 because it had 18 months off. Runs off 137 here. Was higher at times with Nick Williams, but obviously they dropped it, I presume, purely because of the time away from any course. Now, course and distance winner last twice, but it's his course record that also just stands out. I mean, there's a naught to begin with, but thereafter you've got 1-1, 2-1-1. You know, clearly just likes this place. So I don't think Hint of Mint would necessarily want any rain. I'm not sure what the forecast, but good ground here at the moment. That would suit it. Out of the others, Wishful Dreaming comes here after a fourth place to Brain Power last time. Just can't help think he wants a bit further. Amor de Nuit. Now, this was a good horse on the flat. 100 rated, in fact, for Sir Mark Prescott. Still a maiden over hurdles, but obviously just had the 3 runs, so fairly inexperienced. Twice here. Now, it ran on its debut here when it just found Asom too good. Probably didn't jump brilliantly that day. And there was some talk that Taunton wasn't the right track for it. So it's interesting it keeps coming back. Ludlow ran over a bit further.
Want quite a bit further as well, I would say, in time.
Well, yeah. I mean, it didn't run well over further at Ludlow. Now, they said it had a breathing issue. Now, is the breathing issue just... I mean, was it like a one-off thing, dare I say it? I mean, it could have been sorted for all we know, but I shouldn't think it's had much time to be sorted. And was that to do with it being over further? I wasn't, you know, it's a bit of guesswork really on that.
It is yet to run over further over hurdles than it did on the flat.
Yes.
And that could bring about improvement. But at the same time, if anyone's going to know, it'll be Paul Nichols.
You would have thought. Mm. And obviously, it's come back to this course for its third run and showed more again behind Spirit of the Games. Manila Style beat it. So you can't rule it out. It's obviously getting quite a bit of weight as well, and was just such a decent flat performer, you would have thought. Now, is there an argument that because it was a decent flat performer over 2 miles, effectively, does that just make it a bit slow?
You possibly.
Without being rude, in a nice sense of the word, but sometimes, I don't know, I sometimes have in my head that I think more perhaps 10 furlong horses
make better 2 mile hurdlers,
But all in all, I'm going to stick with the top one. Just as much as anything, is banging form and it loves it here.
And I ought to say as well, Beltor, it's now 2 years ago that he was bidding for the Triumph Hurdle. Time does fly.
Not
last year, 2 years ago. Right, we'll move to Kempton then. The 4:30 is the first race on the Polytrack that we're going to look at. And once again, for this handicap over a mile, there's plenty of these who arrive here in good form. The likes of Alejandro was a winner last time out. Of course, he's got plenty of form if you go through the book. Gossiping was a winner when last seen, but that was 51 days ago now. Then you've got the unexposed types, the likes of Juffen, who is absolutely fascinating, and the consistent horses in there as well. There's plenty of those. What do you fancy here?
I fancy Presumido.
Okay.
Evergreen 7-year-old, dropped in class here. And that's definitely, I think, one angle that I'm looking at. Paddy Bradley takes a further £5 off his back. You know, that jockey's perfectly competent. No problem with that. Beat Franco Secret in December. Now, Franco Secret was only rated 77 there. Now, Franco Secret's run several good races in the meantime. Now, this horse is still £4 higher than then, but just let's look at the roll card of the winners in the four races this horse has contested since. My Target twice, Keystroke, and, dare I say it, the worst of those is Chevalier. Well, that's not a bad horse. There's just, if you compare those horses to what it's facing here today, there's just no comparison. Now, sometimes with this horse, we have a problem of the fact that there's often no pace in some of these races, and they get very tactical affairs. This horse does tend to sit out the back. Kempton, obviously, there's a bit more space to try and weave your way through and perhaps gradually make be better positioned. You know, sometimes places like Lingfield or even Wolverhampton, you just got a wall if you're out the back. It's very hard to adjust to what's going on at the time. I think there is a chance there will be some pace. Harlequin Striker, Kestrel.com possibly might. I'm almost looking that a couple that haven't run for a while might show a bit of pace because they might just be fresh.
Yeah.
So that's my one slight concern, but then that might affect some of the others in the race anyway. Alejandro, now that bounced back to form, as you said here a month ago, and that actually did beat Franco Secret that day. Mm. Franco Secret was rated 84 then. Only a second run for Lochnane. Seems to have perked him up. But I'm going to stick with Presumido over that horse. The Warrior, now that has led once in its life, or once in its most more recent runs. Mm. Now it had over 6 months off before coming back to the track end of February when it was third to take the helm at Lingfield. Could build on that, but has only run one race in its life, and that was when fresh. It looked a bit awkward in the finish the other day. So I think we can take that one on. Gossiping, 11.5 grand purchase from Godolphin, tends to win or be unplaced. Two wins out the last three, but they were off marks of 65 and 73. Now 79, upwardly mobile, but we're again looking at different type of opposition to what this horse has faced. Whereas Presumido is coming down, this horse is clearly going to be facing horses that it's not used to facing class wise. And you mentioned this very interesting runner, Juffin. You know, nearly a year off, first run for Johnny Butler, 50 grand purchase, but it was back in July. So it's taken a while for it to, even once it's moved, for them to get it to the course. Now, you could say that, I don't know what it came with. I don't recall reading the stuff from July as to what had been wrong with it or whether it was in or out of training even back in the sales. But it, you know, that is a few months to get it back on the track.
It'd also be pretty rare that Godolphin would send a horse to the Butler team and it would improve immediately, particularly a younger horse, maybe. Maybe later on in its career, if it had slipped down the handicap, you could see this as a potential. But it's rare that the Butler team gets...
They don't usually knock them in first time, do they?
...up-and-coming horses. You know, they do tend to be plots in the end.
Yeah, and though I would... In defence, I mean, they bought Toofy off... Roberts,
yeah,
horses in training sales and stuff. So maybe they are trying just to up the standard of horses. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many horses these owners have got with Johnny Butler. I've got to be honest. I know they've had some with Robert before, and they've used to, certainly David Ellsworth. I can't remember the really good handicapper they had with him.
I do, because I backed it at 25s to win a York race. Master the World.
That'll be it.
Yeah.
So they're not, you know, they have had a fair few decent horses over the years, so it'll be interesting to see what it shows for certain. But as far as today goes, Presumido, I think the drop in class, and it's providing things, you know, go right in the race, I think it's got a good chance here.
Okay, fair enough. The final race we're going to focus on is the 5 o'clock from Kempton, a handicap over a mile and a half. So many consistent types in here, but They've all got one thing in common, and that's they're just a little bit slow. That said, that doesn't really make it any easier from a punting point of view here, but you know exactly what you're going to get from quite a lot of these.
Yeah, and once again, pace is going to be important. Now, I think there potentially is some pace here, and this is why I'm going to go with this Alcatraz. Had a visor added to the tongue tie for the first time last run. That was replacing the cheek pieces. Only fourth out of six that day, but the race wasn't run to suit at all. Slow pace. This horse has dropped out, so he's badly placed when they've quickened up. His game isn't sprinting. And he was actually keen as well, early doors, so he's been wasting energy. So it just didn't go right. Prior to that, I'd been second twice, clearly on good terms with himself. Kirby back on board. Should be able to, you know, Kirby on the all-weather. You don't get much better than that, do you? So you should be able to judge what's going on and what the tactics in the race is, and hopefully you can adjust it. And I think that's where I would be going. Tangram, great record, 7 wins from 17. Still £3 above the last win, though. Another who likes to be held up. And although one here not raced, perhaps here, or had the success, maybe compared to Wolverhampton. Safira Menina always tends to be apprentice-ridden. Third to Langlauf last run. Should run her race again, but again, another horse that's probably going to get held up. Light of Airs in form, been placed at Lingfield last twice, but significantly up in class here. And you've got another sort of quite interesting one that's not been around for a bit. This Bostonian, placed for Mark Johnson, but it was 2013.
Yeah.
Had a hurdle effort in 2014 for John Ferguson that didn't really go. And then it's, where's it been? Well, actually, it was purchased, I think, 18 months ago, this horse, for precisely £800. So, if you compare that to Juffin's price tag, this one obviously clearly has not been around for a while, and that doesn't make it sound like there were too many people queuing up to make the purchase.
No, but on if you take the form, purely looking at the form for Matt Johnston, you'd go, I might have a squeak here.
Yeah, yeah. So
certainly an interesting one. Interesting.
It is interesting.
If it shows
to
anything.
Absolutely. But as far, again, as this race goes, Alcatraz is where I'm going.
Alcatraz gets the nod then in that one. Great stuff, Tom. Thanks very much for joining me. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.